Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today is the end of my fourth week teaching about God's will. For 3.5 weeks, I taught about how to find God's will, and then I've been talking about how to follow God's will. There's 5 teachings in this teaching on how to follow God's will, and this is the first teaching. Today is going to be my last day to talk about following the desires of your heart. And this is really a powerful truth. I've tried to emphasize this, that because it's so simple, that a lot of people think it's got to be more complicated than this. But this really is how simple it is. Psalms chapter 37, verse 4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." Now, that needs some explanation, and that's what I've been doing. I'm not going to go back through all of this, but it's saying you have to delight yourself in the Lord. You can't just follow the desires of your heart if you aren't truly sold out to God and committed to God with your whole heart. But when you do make yourself a living sacrifice and you seek God first and you are honestly, sincerely saying, "God, I put you first. I want your will above everything else." And if you mean that with all of your heart, then a supernatural thing happens. That when you delight yourself in the Lord, He changes your heart. His desires get put into your heart and you lose these selfish desires. And you start desiring the things of God. And if, and again, this is a huge if, you have delighted yourself in the Lord, then, and only then, can you follow the desires of your heart, because those desires will be God-given, God-breathed. And really, when you stop and think about it, this sounds so simple. The only thing that's complicated, or the only thing that's hard, is it takes a while for you to cross that barrier to where you are more God-centered than you are self-centered. It takes a while for you to get off the throne of your life and to give God that place. But when you do it, and, you know, I could spend an hour on this. I'm just going to say this. You need to pray about this and maybe let God expand it and increase the significance of this. I hadn't got time to do it, or I'm not going to take the time to do it. But when you become a living sacrifice, when you cross that barrier to where God is in control and not you is in control, that doesn't happen accidentally. It doesn't happen without notice. What I'm saying is you can't do that without knowing that you've done it. It's a traumatic experience. It is not normal for you to yield the control of your life to a God that you can't see, taste, hear, smell, or feel. It takes faith, and it is just outside of the norm. And I can promise you that if you are living a life that is wholly committed to God, you know it. Now, that doesn't mean that you're doing it perfectly. None of us do it perfectly. But I can go back again to my personal testimony, and when God touched my life and when I made this commitment, March the 23rd, 1968, I gave everything there was to God. Now, that didn't mean that I did it perfectly, but I did it as much as I possibly could. If you would have come to me and says, "Did you hold anything out?" Nothing. I turned myself inside out. And it was a traumatic experience. It was a dramatic experience. And I guarantee you, I knew something had happened. And I knew God was now on the throne of my life. And I knew that God was in control. And I just can't imagine a person doing this without absolutely having some kind of a miraculous, life-changing encounter. So I say all of that to say that if you can't point to something and say, "You know what, I have truly made a commitment to God with my whole heart." And again, that doesn't rule out the fact that you're going to fail. We all have, we live in a sinful body, in a sinful world, and there are going to be mistakes. I'm not saying that you are perfect and that you never make another mistake, but I am saying that you know when you have given God the control of your life. And once you do that, then God starts changing your desires. And you can literally go with the desires of your heart. And I know to some people that's scary because you aren't absolutely convinced that God is in control, and you're aware that many of your desires are just totally, totally out in left field. They violate the Word directly. And, you know, by me teaching on this, I'm running the potential or the risk of someone who just says, oh, yeah, I believe I'm delighting myself in God. And so Andrew said, Psalms chapter 37, 4 says, He'll give you the desires of your heart, so I'm just going to do this because it's what I've always wanted to do. If you aren't truly committed to God, that's a recipe for disaster. But when you do commit your life to God, it makes a huge difference, and God starts changing the desires of your heart. I've given you examples about how God led me out of school because of this. I lost the desire to go through a secular education, and all of a sudden I just knew. I mean, I wanted to be so committed to God. I didn't know exactly how He was going to use me, but I knew I wasn't just going to be teaching school or doing something normal, natural, like I expected. And I knew that going through that university training was not a part of my life. And I mean, God helped me to make one of the most important decisions of my life within 2 or 3 weeks after I had this miraculous encounter where I made Jesus the absolute Lord of my life, and I made myself a living sacrifice. And instantly my life began to change. And since then, I have made thousands and thousands and thousands of decisions primarily based on, God, I put You first. What is Your will? I seek Him. And God just gives me His desires. He puts His desire in my heart. I could list hundreds of them probably, but you know, I was on radio because I have always, even before I had this experience and I committed myself to the Lord, I'd be driving down the road and I'd hear a radio preacher and I would think, you know, if I ever go on radio, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And I selected the song from the second chapter of Acts, that musical group, the one about Hear the Bells Ringing. We were talking about that earlier with my camera crew. And I knew back when I was a teenager that someday I wanted to have a radio program and tell people about God, and I knew what song I'd use, and I knew all of these things. And it was just a desire that I had in my heart. And then lo and behold, here I've been on radio since 1976 on a daily basis and been ministering constantly. And I had this desire for radio, and I felt like that someday I would be on television. And I had been on a guest on other people's television programs. I've got as many as 1,000 requests in one day to a teaching that I did as a guest on other people's shows. And there was an anointing there, and I had a lot of people tell me, and I knew that someday I'd be on television, but you know what? I just had no desire for it because I knew it was going to be expensive. I knew that it could make or break the ministry. I knew there's just a lot involved in it and, you know, just a lot of things. And so because of it, I could see it coming, but I had no desire for it. And then in the summer of 1998, God spoke some things to me and I could see myself on television, and it's like my desires just switched like 180 degrees. One week, if you would have asked me, are you going to go on television? I would have said sometime, probably, but not now. It's just not time. And then, I mean, in 1 week's time, my heart changed to where all of a sudden, instead of desiring not to be on television, I had a burning passion on the inside of me to go on television. I sat down and I basically drew out this set. It wasn't the exact same thing, but it was the same style. It had exposed wood beams and flagstone and all of these things that you see. I had this exact idea. I knew that I wasn't going to be standing in a three-piece suit and walking and preaching like other people, but I was just going to be sitting down and talking to you just like we were in your living room. And I was talking, and I knew all of these things. And I mean, within just like that, my desires changed. And following those desires, I started on television January the 3rd, 2000. And did you know that that's when our whole ministry really started? Matter of fact, just a few months prior to that, the Lord spoke to me in a dream and told me, He says, you are just now beginning to fulfill My will for your life. Everything prior to that, 31 years of ministry was preparation for what's happened in the last 10 years being on television. And truthfully, our ministry has increased 20 or 30-fold since we've started on television. And you know how all that came to pass? I never heard an audible voice. I didn't get a prophecy. God changed the desires of my heart. And something that I never desired, all of a sudden I desired. And it was such a dramatic about face, such a radical and quick turn, that I prayed about it for about a week and made sure. But the more I sought the Lord, the stronger the desire to be on television got. And I pursued it, and it all came to pass. The same thing happened with our Bible college. You know, I never desired a Bible college. Matter of fact, I even told people I did not ever want my name associated with the Bible college because I had seen a lot of ministers who came through Bible college, and they got a big head thinking that they were superior to other people because they knew something. And you know, the scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, I believe it is, verse 1, that knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And I saw a lot of people get puffed up with a degree and thinking that they were superior and go out and they caused more problems. They didn't have the right heart. Their attitude stunk. And yet they had a degree and they went out and they were the professionals. And I just didn't want to be associated with something like that. And so for years, people would say, you need to start a Bible college. And I said, no way. I'm never going to have my name associated with anything called a Bible college. But then in the summer of 1993, I was over in England, and I have always been committed to making disciples. I tried to do that through my radio, through my tapes, books, things like this, and I was trying to establish people in the Word, but I didn't think Bible college was the way to do it. And I was sitting in a meeting in England, and a man said, unless you are reproducing yourself in the lives of other people, you are ultimately a failure. And I knew that principle. I hadn't heard it in those words, but I knew that principle. And I was doing everything I could to try and get it across. And I said, God, how do I do it? And I had the thought come to me about a Bible school. And immediately I started resisting these thoughts about, nope, I don't think that's it, because I'd seen people come out of Bible school. But then the Lord spoke to me and showed me a unique way of doing it, where it's not just book knowledge. Certainly there's a lot of that and a lot of classroom instruction. But then He showed me how to impact people's lives on a personal level, how to have them, force them to go on missions trips in order to be able to graduate, and all of these practical things. And all of a sudden, I saw it. I saw how we could have a different type of Bible college that didn't just impart knowledge, but it actually mentored people and made a difference. And did you know, I mean, in an hour's time, I turned from saying never a Bible college to all of a sudden, oh, I see it, and man, I wanted it, and I desired it. And you know, again, because there was room for me to misinterpret those feelings, I prayed about it for a week or two, and the more, see, here again is this principle that I've been talking about. Psalms 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. When the Lord gave me this desire, all of a sudden, I saw a Bible college that could be different and that could mentor instead of just give information. I prayed about it for 2 or 3 weeks, and the more I prayed about it, the stronger it got, and the more I got into delighting myself in the Lord, the stronger the desires got. You know what? I went ahead and started our Charis Bible College based on nothing but these desires of my heart. It was so radical. For 20, 30 years, I'd been going this direction saying, no, never a Bible school. And all of a sudden, boom, I was in the other direction, and I was just desiring it so much, and the more I sought God, the stronger the desire got. I knew that that wasn't normal. It wasn't natural. For 20 years, nothing had ever moved me. And all of a sudden, man, my heart just changed like that. And you know what? I recognize that that's God speaking to me. And I began to follow the desires of my heart. And we started Charis Bible College in 1994. You know, I've mentioned this a couple of times, but now the Bible College has grown to such a degree that we're anticipating in the next few years, we'll have 1,000 students right here in Colorado Springs, and our facility can't hold that many. So we're using the church next door, but 1,000 is the max with them. And I really believe that we're going to be up to 2,500 or more students at our home base. And so based on that, we had to make some decisions. And you know, this is something that is just fresh with me. But when I got turned on to the Lord in 1968, I mean immediately, within a month, I was driving through the country and looking at these estates and big old houses and large pieces of property and thinking, man, someday I'd like to have a place to where we could build something that is dedicated to the glory of God. We could have conventions and conferences and people coming in and people's lives being changed. And, you know, I wished I had about 2-3 hours to explain this to you. It's hard for me to communicate this because most people don't think this way. But I, over the last 42 years, have driven by tens of thousands of places for sale. And I never saw a for sale sign that I didn't think, man, I wonder if that could be something that we could use to draw people in and to minister the gospel and to train people. And I've had this in my heart forever. 15 or 20 years ago, I lost 2 or 3 nights sleep in 1 week when I just got so excited. I drew plans and pictures of what the auditorium would look like and all of these kind of things. And this has been, it has occupied me to such a degree that I have been bothered by it, really. And I've prayed and asked God to take it away. And it's a long story, but last year, as we were deciding that we've got to do something to accommodate this growth, and we were contemplating just spreading the ministry out into one building and the Bible college into another building and all of these different things, I was willing to let this desire that I've had in my heart go because it seemed impractical. And I was willing to let it go. And long story, but God, just in a sense, hemmed us in to where we would have had to have paid a minimum of $20 million for land here in Colorado Springs. And that's bare land, nothing on it. And then we would have had to have built. And that was just for a minimal amount of land that would have, everything would have been crowded. And while we were contemplating that, God dumped in our lap a 157-acre parcel of land with nearly a $3 million lodge on it and gave us all of that for $4 million. So it would have been $20 million for bare land versus $4 million for something with a $3 million lodge on it and the most beautiful views and would accommodate every desire and everything that I've had for the last 42 years. It's like somebody asked Jamie, says, do you think that that's God? And she says, we would have had to have backslid on God to keep from doing this. And I'm saying all of this to say that, you know, one of the ways that I know that this is God that's directing. You could look at the finances, and I mean, we paid 1/4 or 1/5 what it would have cost for something that was less potential. And there's a lot of things. You could look at it in just the physical, the natural realm. You could look at circumstance. You could look at a lot of things. But you know the number one thing to me? This has been a desire of my heart for 42 years, and I couldn't figure out why. It didn't make sense, especially 42 years ago when there were thousands and thousands of people staying away from my meetings. Man, I mean, we struggled, and there was times that it looked like we weren't going to make it through the week. We weren't even eating, and yet I was out dreaming about having a conference center and a place where I could train up people and disciple them to go change the world. And now that it's come to pass, I can look back and see that, you know what, I've delighted myself in the Lord. And God has given me the desires of my heart. This is just a principle of God. It's how you follow God's will. Make God first. Be willing to do anything and literally get off the throne of your life and let God sit in that position. And God, I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. And it takes a period of time for that to become rooted and established and to be an actual commitment of your heart. But once that's done, you'll find out God will start changing the desires of your heart. He'll put His desires in your heart. And that will be one of the ways that God leads you. I have people come to me all the time saying, I just don't have any guidance from God. And I'll sit down and start saying, all right, if you don't have to think about money, family, if you didn't have to worry about anything, what is it that you want to do? And nearly every time they have a desire, they just aren't trusting that that's God leading them. I tell you, this could really help you. I believe that this is a tremendous truth. We're out of time today, and today is going to be my last day to teach on this first teaching in the 5-part set on how to follow God's will. The first teaching is entitled Following the Desires of Your Heart. If you'll listen, our announcer is going to give you that information and call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, How to Follow God's Will, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This series is also available on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. You can receive it for a gift of any amount when you write or call. Or you can get today's teaching as part of the God's Will package, which includes three albums: How to Find God's Will, How to Follow God's Will, and How to Fulfill God's Will. As a bonus, the package includes the Destiny Stories DVD, highlighting four stories of people whose lives were transformed as they pursued God's will for their lives. The entire package has a catalog value of $120. But Andrew considers this teaching so important, he'd like to get it to as many people as possible. Therefore, he's offering it to you for a gift of just $75 or more. Remember to specify the CD or DVD package when you order.
Let me emphasize once again that today is our last day to offer you the first teaching in this five-part set. This first CD is entitled Following the Desires of Your Heart, and it'll cover what I've talked about the last few days. I found that sometimes the people that need the teaching the most are the least able to afford it. So my partners have enabled me to offer each teaching free of charge, one at a time. Today's the last day to offer the first teaching entitled Following the Desires of Your Heart.
You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled God Wants You Well for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Durant, Oklahoma this week, July 28th through the 30th, in Boston, Massachusetts for a Gospel Truth seminar August 12th through the 14th, and in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center camp meeting September 12th through the 17th. He'll also be in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 18th through the 19th, in Colorado Springs, Colorado, for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, October 4th through the 8th, and in Buxton, Derbyshire, in England, for the Andrew Womack Ministries of Europe Ministers Conference, October 18th through the 20th.
I want to give you a quick update on our project here in Woodland Park. We've called it the Sanctuary, which that word means a place dedicated to the glory of God, and that's what this place is. And we're in the process of moving out here. We purchased this 157 acres in September of 2009, and since then we've been going through permit process. Okay, so we right now are in the lodge, and it's located right about here. It's not marked on this map. And we're going to come out this road right here, this little single line. This is proposed roads that the builders have in here, but this little single dotted line is the existing dirt road that we have. And we're going to come out here and take this little dirt line right here, this little single line, and go by the pond. We're going to build a pavilion out here on the pond for staff and students to use as like a break area and also our summer get-togethers and things. As you can see, we've gotten some equipment. This is a skid loader that we bought, and we've been doing a lot of work with that. This equipment, this backhoe and stuff over on the left-hand side, a man from Arizona donated that to us, and that is an industrial heavy duty. It's a very big one, and that thing, I'm not sure the exact price, but I know it was over $30,000 that piece of equipment cost, and that's been donated to us, and that's a real blessing. And starting from about right where we are right now, this will be the back side of our auditorium, and then from here all the way up over
this little hill will be the auditorium portion of our new facility, and this is the view that we will have. The whole southern side of this building is going to be glass, and it's going to be about three stories of glass, and it'll run the entire length of the south side facing Pikes Peak. And also this gets southern exposure. So as far as environmentally or as far as the utilities, this is going to be tremendous because we are going to take all of this solar heat and use it to heat the building. It'll be really a great thing. So that auditorium will reach up to just about this spot right here. And this auditorium will go from here back. And then there will be a connector right here that goes over. And in this area and down overlooking this pond will be where we have that dining hall, what I'm calling the barn. And it will start from here and it will extend down towards those trees, but it'll be out overlooking the lake and again have this entire view. So it is going to be a beautiful, beautiful place. See, this is our building site, and as you can see, there is a housing addition over here that you can see approximately maybe half a dozen houses. And back to the east down here is where Highway 24 comes through, but you can't see it. That one road that you can see far off in the distance is actually an access road that comes into Highway 24 that leads up to another housing addition. But from the highway or from this Trout Creek Road that goes back through the forest, neither one of them, you can't see this from here. So this will be totally hidden from the highway. People won't even know what's here unless they were to come in here and actually see it. It's going to be awesome. And we are now in the process of going through all of the permits, all of these processes, and we hope that in the summer, probably at least before August of 2010, we'll be able to start putting in the roads and putting in the infrastructure, the utilities, electrical, water, sewage, all of these things, and give access to the building site so that we can begin the excavation and the actual building process in 2011. This first portion that we're doing, we're calling paving the way. That's our architectural fees, putting in the roads, the utilities, all of this infrastructure. And it's going to be around $3 million to $3.5 million just to get this first phase done. And we've had about $1 million of that come in. And so I just wanted to thank those of you who have been behind that. And we believe that we're right on target. We'll be able to get this first phase, paving the way, done before the end of 2011. And then in the beginning of 2011, we'll actually begin the excavation and all the building process. So I want to thank those of you who've been a part of this and who are a part of our foundation builders. We are building buildings, but primarily we're building lives changed by the power of God that are going to go out and make a difference in this world. And you are a part of it. So thank you very much.